Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of John chapter 9. Book of John chapter 9. And we continue to speak about the topic of evangelism, how our Lord evangelized. Then we can understand what is going on around us and what is needed of us this very day to mandate the mission of the Lord to go and make disciples and go and preach the good news. John chapter 9, and I will read the whole chapter. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, The man that is called Jesus made clay and anoint mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put the clay unto mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now see, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, when you hear it again, will he also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinner, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not here that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him hear these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, where therefore your sin remaineth. Let's pray. Lord, we come before in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We bless you, magnify you. I pray the purpose of sending this word to your church and to your people shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. I pray for people to be healed, blinds to see, those in sin to repent, and I pray that you raise up more workers to understand your will. Teach us to evangelize in your ways, O God, and to reach the lost, O God, to help them. O Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, anoint my lips, and put verses and statement on my lips to proclaim your word to your people. Take it, O God, and let me bring you the fruit that you desire to see here and in other places, that this message will be transmitted. I pray for abundance of blessing and fruit and disciples and areas to be opened for evangelism. I pray you open our minds to understand the scripture well according to your will. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Evangelism is to reach people. As Christ here reached one person, to help that person. You know, that man was blind, and the scripture say, and as Jesus passed by, this man, Jesus came to him, but he did not see the Lord. But the Lord himself saw him and would love to do something for him, that he will be able to live a better life and to receive the grace of God. Evangelism is to reach people who are suffering in a dark area in their life, in the dark world, and to transmit to them the grace of God, the word of God, the will of God, so that their life will be better. They may not even ask, or they are aware of what they are passing through. But God, as we have read here in the scripture, Christ is this man. And the disciples of Jesus, they were with him in the same way. And Jesus moving now with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. As the Holy Spirit moving, we are called to move with God to the people, to the person as that the Holy Spirit is pointing us to reach. This man was with God. He has a very valid story for us today. This man was born as a blind man. And Jesus say, I am the light of the world. The one who finds me will not live in darkness. The world around us is full of darkness. And to these people, we must vent ourselves into the dark area. When we vent ourselves into the dark area, not that we cannot see, we can see, but we will be in the danger of the people that we are reaching to help. Evangelism to these people to help them, but be ready to be helped even by them or others in order to let Christ known to them. If we're going to evangelize, before evangelism, if we don't expect the troubles, we are not going to the right people. I repeat, if we intend to evangelize and before evangelism is, we are not expecting the troubles, we are not moving in the direction of the Holy Ghost. I will prove it to you. In verse 5, Jesus say, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. First he said that as long as I am here on life, I must work the work of him who sent me. Now we know that which day that the miracle had taken place. Which day it was? It was the Sabbath day, and on that day appointed by God the Father, that Jesus would heal this man who was born blind. And on the Sabbath day, already there's already tension. Already tension with him in chapter 7 and chapter 8. The Pharisees, they were pointing out to him. He's a Sabbath breaker, but no, he needs to do a miracle. That is the work of God. He needs to heal this man, and he would expect that the Pharisee will oppose him, right or no? They will pick it on him, but he needs to go and do it. That is why when we evangelize, we are waging war against the power of darkness. If we are not opposed, or we are not expecting the troubles or opposition, then we are not evangelizing. We are just washing clean dishes all over again. Or we are not touching the area that is dirty, that needs to be hit by the Holy Spirit, hit by the Word of God, hit by the grace of the Lord. And more than this, when we are born by the flesh. And we are also blind. But when we are born again, we start to see the truth. We start to see life in the way God sees it. We start to see the future. The example of this man, the blind man, that is the world around us, blind people, and we need to reach them. And we need to vent our life to help such kind of people. With the Lord, there was his disciples there with him, maybe the apostles or the group of disciples. In verse 2, they asked the Lord a question. I had passed through this verse But I think now I understand it in the way of evangelism is more, is a valid question they asked the Lord. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? They asked the Lord, is this man the one who sinned, or his parents they sinned, and that is the reason that he was born blind? The Lord answered them, neither this man nor his parents. Now I will go to the question of the disciples. They asked the Lord the first part of the question, is this man sin? How he is sin and he born blind? From the his birth, from his mother put him down, he is blind. So what do they mean here? It's a bad question. No, not their question. My question here. What do they mean here? That this child was this man sin himself that caused the blindness? He was born blind. So what do you understand about the disciples of Jesus at that time? Have you get the point? If you tell me you bring me somebody and this somebody is born blind, he's born crippled, and I say this boy, he sinned before. Pastor, he is already born crippled, he's already blind. How you say like that? Why they say like this, that this man is born, he was the one who sinned? You know the Hindu people, they believe that in the incarnation of the souls. Have you got the point? That if this, listen to this explanation, and I bring it back to the point of evangelism. What we mean by when we say we want going to evangelize? You know, when you say you are going to evangelize, you are stirring hell. Like you are stirring a pot of this one, like this, with your big hand or whatever. You are stirring hell when you say to evangelize. Now the disciple, when they ask this question, I'll go to the Hindu belief. They believe that the incarnation of the soul, that you are now living, after you die, you're going to reincarnate, or you have been coming from before you live and now again. And they say that if somebody doing bad in his life, he'll be reincarnated as a crippled or some animal, yeah, he'll be demoted. That was what was in the mind of the disciples. Even the Pharisees, they have the same mind. But I want to say here, I will not go to their doctrine. But when we evangelize, even people around us who follow the Lord, they have wrong thoughts. That need to be corrected and different. Have you get the point? That need to be corrected and dealt with using the scriptures. Now, here the scripture is Jesus himself. He told them, not this man. Not his parents. Now, we know the scripture speaks that parents, their sin, can be God visit the children for the sin of their parents, and all of it agree with it. That's a warning to us today, that we need to behave. I need to behave so that my sin, God will not use it to visit my descendants. Amen? So we learn today things about evangelism. Through that, every man is born by the sin that we had gotten from Adam. That through Adam, all the world, the sin was introduced to all the world. But through Christ, the grace of God, we have been saved. He told them, neither his parents nor he is the one who sinned, but this had taken place, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Have you get the point here? God, when he was reaching this man, he wants the works of God, not the work of man, to be manifest in him. When we evangelize, we must know that we need to do the work of God in the life of the people that we are reaching out. And we know, when we are reaching people, we are reaching societies, we are reaching traditions, we are reaching churches, we are reaching religious setup, that need to be dealt with, and we should expect a resistance, as we have read in this story. It's a very profound teaching in John 9. It is, this blind man is the blind world around us. We are the worker of Jesus. With us also people, they have wrong disciples, they have things need to be corrected from the scriptures. As we are reaching out people, we need to correct also others so that the error will not be transmitted. And we must understand, we are the light of the world. Now, as Jesus commissioned us, He is the light. And now when He left, He's at the right hand of God, He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, we should behave and act as the light for the world. In verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I need to continue to do the work. Opposition, atmosphere not favorable. I am expecting the troubles, but if I am led by the Holy Ghost, if I can see the Holy Ghost moving in a certain area, I should move after Him, because I am the light of the world. If I will not move in that area, in that direction, if I will not give the message in the proper way that God wanted to be, then I am failing God, because God would use my life as a light for the people who are there. You see, Jesus reached this blind man, you know, as if it was even abrupt to him. When you read to the end of the chapter, he did the marvelous things, right? But how the people reacted badly against him. Are we ready to serve God? Even the very good things that you would do, when you hit the foundation of the devil, you will expect and be ready for backfiring. Let us go more deep in the scriptures and understand what is evangelism. In verse 6, when he has spoken, when he has said that is, I need to do the work, the one who sent me, when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. See here, at once when he said, he did it. He was as if he was in hurry to do it. He was in emergency. He was in urgency to give the gospel to that person, to give the kindness to that person that God wants him to be on that day. How he healed him. Now here's the method that Jesus used. It's a very strange method. And if you ask me why he did it, I will tell you I don't know. Really, I don't know. But I can put reasons and thoughts. Yeah? I think through them we can understand what God wants to tell us today. Now why he used saliva? Why he not ask water? Or he can say you go, you are open, you go and see. Why he need to do all that? He has a purpose, right? Let us go through his purpose. Now that's Sabbath, right? Now before that, we must know that whatever method God wants to use, we have to comply, right or wrong. Can you, Lord, heal me, but I don't like saliva. Can you put saline or distilled water? Have you get the point? Sometimes we want the grace of God in a certain way. Can you, Lord, give me this one through this way? How about if God is not like this way? I have another way. Isn't God have the freedom to do what He likes? We should accept it. How about if I'm going to use strange things with you or with me and with the church we need to do? Are we willing to abide or rebel? You know what he did? If I would do it now, he would be ashamed of me. He spit on the ground. Literally he spit on the ground. And at least he will say, can you bring bowel? I can spit here. Can you bring, you know, sterile dirt or soil? Or no. On the ground, on the spot. He spit on the ground and he make a clay. How he make it? He uses his hand. He uses his hand. He put his hand where he spit on the ground. And he, sure, he brought some soil or ground, dirt, yeah, make it a mud. And then the Bible say here, he say, and anointed the eyes. Anoint. You know, when you buy any medicine ointment for the eye, you see, once you open it, you cannot, you know, keep it for one month, somebody else using it. Be careful of the bacteria. That's correct. I fully agree with that. But I'm speaking here about evangelism. If the Lord would lead us to do certain things that the people, they say there's no manner in that. Now, how, is there any manner in this what Jesus did? Is there any manner? Have you seen any minister doing that? Sure, if we would do it, the church will be more and no one will come. But the question, are we evangelizing in the right way? I think no. We are doing the very thing that the people like. Why this man did not object? He was blind. I don't know if he was seeing. Or he has been told that Jesus now is preparing for you the dirt, he take his saliva out and... But he was in desperate need of grace of God to be healed. Are we sent to open the blind eyes? Yes. Are we ready to accept the method of God? I want to marry this and this, I want to discover this, I want to eat that kind of food. How about here the treatment? In Book of Acts chapter 26, I will show you it's a biblical treatment. Book of Acts chapter 26. Paul, when he was stricken by God, he was blind. And Jesus opened his eyes. He was literally also blind. And Jesus also sent him, after he opened his eyes, he told him, and he was testifying what the ministry God sent him to do. Acts 26 verse 18. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Jesus commissioned Paul to go and open the eyes of the people. And the spiritual blindness is the ignorance of the people of who God is and what is the word of God is. Ignorance is number one cause of sin and blindness to the people. They will say very strange things, but that's biblical. That's what the Bible speaks. Are we going to accept biblical truth by faith, or we will reject them and rely on the worldly other things, but we will be disqualified and we're not doing the right work that God wants us to do? In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Let us see whether what Jesus did is biblical or no. How Jesus created man? What he used? He made clay from the ground. Have you got the point here? He's the creator. Do we realize that we are clay? Do we need to humble down now? Have you got the point here? Are we willing to humble down before God to open our eyes by His method to lead us in the way that we need to go? In Book of Revelation chapter 3, John 8 is a very rich scriptures. Chapter 3, and when Jesus was rebuking, you know, the last church in the Book of Revelation, and let's read verse 18. That was the church of Laodicea. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. We are happy now to buy gold. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. From where this eye salve? From Jesus. Amen. The Creator. That thou mayest see. The saliva of Jesus better than the balm of Gilead, that's in the Bible, and better than any treatment in the world for our spiritual blood. And the cross of Jesus. Are this foolishness which Jesus did ground and mud and put anointed eyes with the clay? That's foolishness, right? Broadcast it to the world is a foolishness. But that's the way that Jesus healed that man. How want Jesus to hear you today? He have his method, right? Have his way. Are we willing to submit to his will and humble down? Please, can you use distilled water? Thank you. It will not work with Jesus. It will not work. Let's go back to John chapter 3. Sometimes we are very meticulous with the worldly things, but spiritual things based on scriptures we are keeping aside. But these are essentials for our life and living, for our mission to go forward, for our life to be better when we are in the will of God. In verse 7, and said unto him, after he anointed his eyes with the mud, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sinned. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now here, after he put the mud, there's things that he need to do. This man, he need to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now this pool of Siloam is in Jerusalem. This man, he is there in Jerusalem, but this man is blind. Have you got the point here? Why Jesus need to send him there? He need to wash there. You give him some water and finish the issue. Why he need to go to that pool? Also the reason we don't know, really, what was in the mind of God. But there are things we can conclude. If this man will not go, will he heal? Okay. He will not be healed. Now here's the point. The first thing is here. Many commands of God we don't obey, right? Do we know what is the consequence of that or no? Yeah. God is testing first our obedience. God is testing our obedience. Am I going to obey the instruction or no? Okay? Second, why Jesus need to send him? You know, I'm thinking about it. I'm really, it's cooking in my mind and my heart is burning already. Jesus didn't make it on the Sabbath day. You know, if he had spoken, you get healed without touching him, without putting the mind, they would not consider sin because what is the sin that he did? He worked. He made the clay and put it on the hand. That's work. That is the Pharisee consider it as work in the Sabbath, Sabbath breaker. Have you get the point here? So by this miracle he was hitting the traditional religious, traditional setup of false religion at that time. Have you get the point? Certain time God wants us to do something strange, but he has a purpose. And when he doesn't go, how he will go? He will go walking or some friend with him, right? Everyone will know that God has put this one on his eyes, and he needs to go to the pool of Siloam, he needs to wash his eyes there. Now suppose this man says there, you know the Pharisees, they will pick up on me and after that, can I wash here? Have you got the point here? God is testing this man. Is this man is willing to face the world and tell them that you are doing this incorrect? Are we evangelizing when we are not disturbing others? Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. We need to disturb the people. Did he disturb them, Jesus, with this man? He stirred them up. Was this man willing to stand for the truth or no? Yes, he was willing. Pull up Siloam, I will go there. Yes, Lord. People's opinion, Pharisees' opinion, synagogue rules' opinion, but if the word of God says something, I need to obey it. Are you getting what is evangelism all about? Is what is going on around us evangelism? Giving the people their wishes and dreams? So obedience needs to be tested. We need to have inheritance among those who are sanctified. We need to be sanctified first. From the tradition, from the shame, from our own will. We are not willing to disturb people. We cannot evangelize. If we will not disturb people, we cannot evangelize at all. Better not to move. You know the church today with the compromises had disturbed the field of evangelism, had corrupted the field of evangelism. At the time of Jesus, even the disciples, they believed in the incarnation. This guy sin or his parents? Up to this point, the evangelism, the church's responsibility to correct, not the people outside in the world, to correct the disciples' mind first. Before healing, the true healing of Jesus will come. True healing is means salvation. Devil can also do false miracles. But he cannot save from them. So obedience tested, willingness to face troubles for sake of Christ is tested. And third things, here's what you need to do and go and wash. We need to understand, when we evangelize, people they need to do their part. Jesus did his part on the cross. I need to do mine.
They say do this, otherwise we will be lost. Everyone wants to do his part. No one different. God's willing, next week we will continue learning about evangelism from John 9 and with God give us scriptures. Let's stand. Lord, thank you for your word to us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you lead us and guide us, Lord, with the way that you want us to move in the name of Jesus. Renew our mind to understand things and to do things according to your will. Oh God, open the eyes of your people. Renew the mind of the disciples of yours. Renew our minds, all of us, that you will be willing to be corrected according to the word that we receive from you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh God, the purpose of sending this word to your church shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Lead us and help us. Help us, oh God, to go forward doing the very work of yours. Make us willing to suffer, willing to obey, willing to do our part as we learn it here from you. Give us humility. Humble us more to accept your methods, to give up our own ways and our plans, and putting away conditions on you. We repent today from these sins in the name of Jesus. Guide us and help us and lead us in the way that you want us to know. We thank you, God. We bless you. We are at your feet to learn from you, to hear, to listen, to obey. I seek your God, thank you for your word that teaches us how to worship and how to serve you, how to do your will. Guide us, each and every one of us, to do the very things that you ask us to do. I pray for more effective evangelism according to your will. We accept your ways and your method, and we humble ourselves before you for any correction. Deal with us that the Holy Spirit humble us, that you will do the very things that you want us to do. Take the message and let the message bring you fruit and glory here and in the other places that this message will go. Protect it and let us cherish what we receive from you. Teach us to be faithful and obedience to you, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory, God, that your hand with us and give us, Lord, from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.